Allen, Baker, Barlow, Biteman, Blackburn, Blake, Bovey, Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Clausen, Clem, Connolly, Court, Crank, Dayton, Edwards, Eklund, Ayer, Flitner, Freeman, Furphy, Guru, Gray, Greer, Haley, Hallinan, Halverson, Henderson, Hunt, Jennings, Kenner, Kirkbride, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lone, Laux, McGuire, Madden, McKim, Miller, Nicholas, Northrup, Obermuller, Olson, Paxton, Pelkey, Pipirinen, Pipirinen, Ponell, Salazar, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Sweeney, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Pipirinen, excused, Zwanitzer, excused. We have 58 present, two excused.
Okay, our prayer for the day is by our own Representative Kenner.
Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, in thanksgiving for this place we call Wyoming, for the seasons and their changes, for the mountains to the prairies, for the streams and rivers and lakes, for the trees, grasses, and plants, for our wildlife, large and small, including the birds, fish, and all other creatures, for those who came before us and their many sacrifices, for this place to live, work, and play, for all our people, young and old, remembering our families and friends, especially for our children, for they are our future. For all this, we are eternally grateful. We now pray for your continued guidance and wisdom for this, the House of Representatives, and our staff, as we remain your stewards and servants for those we will never know in a time we will never see in this wonderful place we call Wyoming. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball! Okay, members, House come to order. We're at that order of business of Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 27, 2017 has been read and recommends it be approved. Signed, Representative Guru and Representative Gray.
We have a few messages from the Senate.
Messages from the Wyoming Senate, February 27, 2017. Message number 403, Committee of the Whole, indefinitely postponed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 191, Hathaway Expand Wyoming Scholarships, ayes 1, noes 29. Message number 404, concurrence passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendment to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 35, Virtual Education, 29 ayes, 1 no. Message number 405, concurrence, passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 37, Education Hathaway Scholarship Program 2, ayes 26, noes 4. Message number 406, concurrence, passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 57, Motor Vehicle Franchises, exception, ayes 25, noes 5. Message number 408, Joint Conference Committee report, adopted. Mr. Speaker, Senate file 14, inoperative liquor licenses. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 29. Conflict 1. Message number 409. Conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 159. The Senate conferees are Senator Doc Statter, Chairman, Senator Anderson, and Senator Boner. Message number 410. Conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 231. The Senate conferees are Senator Christensen, Chairman, Senator Barnard, and Senator Case. Message number 411. Conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 32. The Senate conferees are Senator Christensen, Chairman, Senator Bouchard, Senator Hicks. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We're at that order of business of bills on consideration on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, it's my understanding we have some members that might not want to do general file. So what we'll do is have an objection, and then we'll have to have a second. Then we'll take a roll call whether to go into general file. So, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, if you'd make the motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole.
Okay, Representative Lowen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I object to this ruling. Per the information that we provided to our constituents.
I think so you're objecting to the motion. Do you have a second? Okay. We have a motion and we have an objection to the motion. It's non-debatable. So we will now move to a roll call vote to go to general file. So if you vote yes to sustain the objection, then we will not do general file today. If you vote no, you are upholding the motion by the majority floor leader. So if you vote yes to sustain the objection, this is we've done this before. We did it just yesterday, I believe. Okay? Is there any clarification? I'm looking for kind of heads nodding. Everybody good? So if you vote yes, you'll sustain the objection, and we will not do committee of the whole. If you vote no, we will work these Senate files. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I just hope you're seeing lots of nods out there. Just to be clear, a no vote, we go to general file.
Correct.
Mr. Chair.
Chairman Nicholas.
So I'm curious, if we vote yes and we don't have general file, that means all those bills die. Is that right?
Correct. Okay. Everybody clear? Okay, Chief Clerk will call the roll on the objection, and we're voting whether to sustain the objection or not. A yes vote is no general file. A no vote, we continue with general file. Please call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
No. Bovey.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
No.
Giroux.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
No.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
No.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 23 aye, 37 no.
The objection has not been sustained. We are now in committee of the whole. Representative Kirkbride.
Good morning. It's like being chairman to a supportive group of Vikings. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Just a comment on general file. Both your yellow sheet and your blue sheet that is in your inbox are the same this morning. So we're going to start with Senate File 49, 91, 142, 129, and on down the list for a while.
The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 49. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 49, introduced by Capital Financing, Investment Funds Committee, an act relating to state investments. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which gave a due pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Nicholas, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report. It does so with a recommendation that Senate File 49 do pass. And there is an amendment, and I will walk through first the bill and then the amendment and move to the amendment. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think I'm getting a bit of a head cold up here, so you got to take it easy with me. If I start not tracking, then somebody come pick me back up. So this bill is actually, it came from the Select Committee on Capital Financing and Investments, and then when that Select Committee gets together, comes up with proposals, that then goes to the Joint Appropriations Committee and it kind of becomes our bill. But what this does, even though it looks like it's a complicated bill and a little lengthy, it's actually quite simple. It's developing a more analytical approach to hiring and retaining the investment manager for our SLIB board, for our state investment policies, and to work with the electeds and the state treasurer. It creates kind of like a super committee of highly qualified world-class investment officers who will then provide advice and consultation to the state treasurer and to the SLIB board on the investment of roughly $19 billion. And the importance of it is that number right there. We're investing basically $19 billion, and the current practice is, as you know, that they don't have really a lot of investment folks within the state treasurer's office. We've expanded it a lot over the last 5 years by about two or three positions. They actually now have one investment manager that has some experience with investing large public portfolios. But what primarily they do is they hire an investment manager. And then that investment manager comes and they hire him for 2 or 3 years, 5 years, depending on the term of the contract. And that investment manager then comes and is at the beck of the SLIB board, so our five elected officials, in their capacity as the overseers of the $19 billion that we invest of state funds. So what this does, it creates kind of a committee that it's trying, it creates two steps. One step is selection of this committee, a panel of qualified folks, and that panel selects then a new created investment funds committee. And this investment funds committee is made up of, as the bill was originally drafted, five individuals. And those five individuals all are required to have very extensive, long-term practice and qualifications in public funds management, funds over $500 million. If you go to the qualifications, it's a fairly rigorous list of folks. And all these folks will be serving the same way we do. There's no compensation for them. The reason that they're interested in doing this is because they have the opportunity to become a member of this investment committee that is overseeing and making recommendations on $19 billion. And so it's kind of like kind of a feather in their cap, and it's also to see how other large investment folks for public funds can operate and trade. And then really what it does then, once you create this committee, it makes recommendations to both the SLIB board and to whoever the manager is that the SLIB board retains in establishing investment policies in terms of asset allocation, the types of risk that ought to be involved, and whether or not the current policies are maximizing their dollars, minimizing their risk, and also help establishing what those parameters of risk and portfolio diversification are. So let me just walk you quickly through the bill. It creates the committee. There will be a change page four, it says transferring certain duties from the State Loan and Investment Board to the committee. The First Amendment takes that responsibility out. In the committee of the whole, in the standing committee, we reduced the authority of this committee to be advisory as opposed to having direct responsibility, because the direct responsibility should always lie with the five electeds. But anyway, it creates this committee, and then what's kind of complicated is there's a panel, and the panel is selected by the five elected officials. And the panel are qualified investors, and those panels, members, will select the actual committee members. In other words, so we've got this two-layered approach to it. And the reason of that is to have an extra arm's length of of disinterest, if you will, away from the elected officials. So by having a panel that then select a committee instead of just going out and pick your favorite person, you've got this arm-length group of committee members who are not really beholden to the SLIV board and the five electeds in the sense of what if they have a particular allegiance to one or two members. The whole point is to have this kind of this committee stand on its own and literally just look at investments, what's the best interest of the state in terms of where the money should be invested, how it should be invested, to raise the maximum amount of dollars with the least amount of risk. And so the elected officials pick a panel, and that panel then selects the members of the committee. There are currently five members of the committee, and that was changed, and I'll get to that in a minute. That was changed in the standing committee amendment. It now has six plus two extra ex officio members, and I'll explain that when we get to it. But what happens now is if you go look in the statute, the state treasurer interviews and makes recommendations for a state investment manager, and that investment manager is picked by the five electeds, and that's the entity. They're almost always large national firms that specialize in public fund management and how you manage those funds. But what's happened over time is they become ingratiated in and embedded in to those five elected officials, there's not an arm's length kind of oversight what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. They become friends and they become acquaintances, and then each time that there's a renewal of who's going to be the investment officer, it's a popularity contest. And quite frankly, if you think about it, our five elected officials are all wonderful people, but none of them are investment managers and have the experience and knowledge to know who the heck would be the best folks to manage our investment portfolios. It's a sales pitch when those folks come in. What this does, it tries to create more separation so that the folks that pick the investment committee and the investment manager is picked by first the panel, who then picks the commission, and then that commission makes recommendations to the governors and the five elected officials. Will we end up with the same investment manager? Who knows? But it creates an arm's length transaction where it's going to be more based on qualification, more based on the soundness of their portfolio management and what they've done in the past, and their overall agenda on what they think where we should be with our $19 billion of investments. So, the qualifications of these folks are on page 5. You can see it's in excess of $500 million of portfolio management. In the world of large cap public financing, that's not a very large number. So let's go back and talk about, if you go to page 2, it talks about who's on the committee. And as it's currently drafted, it's the state treasurer and his designee, who is his chief investment officer, and three members that are selected by the panel. So three other investment folks. So now I want to take you to Senate File 49, Standing Committee Number 1, because what this does is it changes who's on this committee. And it adds the chief investment advisor from the state retirement. And the reason we did that is because, number one, that person should be of the caliber of an investment person who can help manage state funds. Right now we've got this two-pronged approach where you've got the state retirement that's managing $8 billion over here and the state treasurer who's managing $19 billion over there. But they don't, I mean, they're friends, but they don't use the same advisors. They don't sit down and share advice. And so one of our ultimate goals over time is to start putting those offices, at least in part, together to get a double benefit from the investment advisors who perform those duties. So we add the chief investment advisor of retirement, and then we do two more things. And these we created two ex officio members who will sit with this investment committee. We'll basically meet quarterly, and primarily we'll meet by phone because these investment advisors could be all over the world, one from the governor's office and one from the legislature. So that way We are fulfilling our responsibilities on knowing what this select committee does, what's going on, and primarily because the governor is the chief executive officer, and he ought to know what this committee is doing and get reports back to him. So that's, in a nutshell, that's all that this amendment does. In addition to it, page 8, line 5, at one point, the original bill was crafted so that this new investment committee would actually select the state investment manager. And we thought, wait a minute, we don't want to go that far. We want to keep the power within the SLIB, but just have recommendations from this committee. And so you'll see that at page 8, line 5, we delete that they have basically a veto power, and we insert that they will consult with the SLIB board on the selection of the state investment officer. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's really it in a nutshell. Are there any questions? I'd be happy to answer them. And so I would start off by and ask for your favorable consideration on the amendment, Senate File 49, Standing Committee Number 1. And
question has been called. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 49, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion is carried. We're back on the bill. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and appreciate the good chairman bringing this bill. I'm still thoroughly confused. I was doing mental gymnastics trying to follow this thing, and with all due respect, it sounds like a hot mess. More bureaucracy upon bureaucracy. I guess the question that I have, though, really has to do with our supplemental budget, and maybe the good chairman can correct me if I'm wrong in this, but my understanding was I thought we had authorized many new positions for this exact purpose as far as investment of funds. And so I'm wondering how that plays into this, seeing that we created a bunch of new positions and now we're going to create a select committee who's going to create another select panel. And we've got all these processes that they're going to follow. And I guess that's the big question is why, especially if we've authorized a bunch of new employees. So if we can get that squared away, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question. I understand why it's being done. We once had an amazing investment officer we didn't pay enough and got robbed away by another state. A lot of us have been concerned since as to whether we can invest at the level we were doing. I'm curious how these people are paid. There's, in page 11, there's an appropriation for $45,000. My guess is that isn't going to be enough for the commission. It may just be the per diem, and I'm curious if there's a commission in this for the person. So if he loses our shirt, he loses his shirt.
Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of questions. First of all, there's nothing in the bill that says those appointed couldn't be from the same firm, and I think that would be a mistake. And secondly, there's nothing in here that says they can't recommend their own firm to handle the investments, and I would think that would be a conflict of interest. Just raise those questions. Thank you.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. I think it's a tremendous idea, and I think I heard the good chairman of appropriations already answer this question, but I wanted to make sure that those three folks that appear to be the ones that are going to be appointed, they can live any place in the world, any place in the country. It's not limited to just our borders. So, in other words, if a Warren Buffett was actually interested in our small potatoes, would he be able to be appointed?
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you. Just to answer a couple of those questions. I'll start with the first one. So in the budget bill, we did add new positions in the state treasurer's office. Those new positions are basically managers, accountants, a lawyer, and a computer system, where they're going to actually have a day trading table within their office, and they're going to be running the nuts and bolts of day-to-day investment policies that are handed down from the slip board and supervised by the state treasurer. This committee will be up and above and away from that, looking at it from a macroeconomic scale, saying you should invest 40% in equities, and whether it's U.S. equities or European equities or whole market types of things, what percentage you should have in your asset allocations. They look at the big picture and come in and say, this is how you can maximize your return. So and all they do is do quick recommendations, and the answer then to go to your question from the good legislator from the middle of the state, these folks could be from anywhere. And in fact, it's not the same, but this was patterned after a similar exercise that took place in Australia. And in Australia, they have one of the highest performing funds for public dollars, for public funds in the world. They've been number one for five years running. Their return, my understanding, last year was like 23 or 24%. They've got this separation of investment officers who are basically sitting on the sidelines and just saying, okay, what should we do? How would you do it? What would be the best way to make money? And they meet, you know, once or twice for maybe one day or 2 days every quarter, and then at the most. And so they're just kind of a fly over the top. This is the way you should be investing money. These are our recommendations. And those recommendations then go down to the investment manager, and the current investment manager is a firm out of primarily based out of New York that we have, New York and the West Coast, telling them what to do or where they believe that asset allocation should be. And if you happen to be going into the Far East or to emerging markets, you should look at these sectors within those emerging markets, because that's where you have your highest return and least likely risk. So essentially, these are folks that do nothing during their regular day jobs other than learn where to invest and make the best capital. And they're serving on this. It's kind of like an honorary position, because you get to manage or assist in managing a $19 billion portfolio, and that goes on your resume. But you get paid nothing for it other than your cost for travel. So it's really a neat deal. And so where do the funds come from? The funds come from the state investment pool dollars. And so there's no out-of-pocket. If they have any staffing they need or for research, travel, all that kind of stuff comes out of the treasurer's office and will come out of, in essence, in part, that $3 million that were it's just for staffing that we created in the budget bill, that we're already, if you recall, we're taking $6 to $9 million of commission fees to hire those additional 7 or 8 people to do on-hand, on-the-ground managing. And so by having this committee and by having the new 7 or 8 employees as we create them, the synergies between them, well, those folks on the ground who are doing the management, will have a heck of a lot better idea of what they're doing, where they should be concentrating their investment advice, and making sure that they're being compliant with the guidelines that is established by the SLIB board and recommended by this committee. I think I answered those questions. And there is some language with regards to whether a person can who's on the panel, who's on the selection panel, can be on the committee and or an investment manager. I'm not sure what the page on it, and I'll double-check that. But there is some language that, to make sure that to address that conflict of interest.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This year being the first year on appropriations for me, it was really interesting to listen to the discussions that we had, particularly between our committee and the treasurer's office. And I, at least, have come away from those discussions feeling a sense of urgency on the part of the treasurer's office to get a little better control over how our investment funds are managed and to what degree we have the ability to control the destiny of those funds. Currently, they're managed by managers, but once we give them to them, it's in their hands to do as they choose. And so these respective changes that we've made, adding the positions in our supplemental budget plus this, has really given the treasurer the ability to be more accountable to us as a legislator and to the citizens of the state on the funds that we have invested. It was particularly interesting to me one day as we had this very discussion and we left the committee room, and I was walking along with our current treasurer down the hall towards the caucus room, and a business individual from another part of the state grabbed him and says, you know, I just read an interesting article about how fund managers are the return for fund management investments is like several percentage lower on an average than states or public entities governing or having more control. And we kind of looked at each other and smiled, and it was true. And when you think about the types of money that we're using, 1 or 2%, we'll take that. That's real money where I come from. And so this is, I think, is a very responsible approach to how we allow the governor to, or the treasurer as well as the SLIB board to administer over them. Frankly, right now, the SLIB board is responsible to ensure that we're doing all of that. Now, these are elected officials who probably, just like the rest of us, had regular day jobs coming into this, and probably would be the first to admit that they are not at the top of the list to be making all of the investment decisions that we make. And that's why we've got these investment managers doing it. So we need to back up a step, as the approach that this bill does, and have some people on board that can really move us forward with our best interests in mind. I hope that you'll support the bill.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to address two questions that were brought up, because I did serve on the originating committee from this. One was a question about conflicts of interest, and if you'll look on page 5, lines 10 through 12, there is reference to our various conflict of interest statutes, and so that's been addressed, and you can look that up online yourself. I won't read them off, but obviously that would be an issue that we want to avoid. The other thing I want to speak to a little bit more broadly is the question that was brought up about layers of bureaucracy. And this is a situation in which there is actually, I think, a benefit to the state, to the people, for having this layer. And the reason is, our SLIB board, and they would still have ultimate responsibility, and I am certainly all the people who are the 5 electeds now and hopefully for the future are people of integrity and intelligence, and I hope that continues forever in Wyoming. However, if you consider the temptation when setting investment policy of the bread and circuses line that we have seen, where you might say, gee, if we have investments directed this way with this kind of return, and the year before elections come out, we will be able to have these great profits and spend them on people in such a way. As an elected official, I would hope that we would never fall to that temptation, but you have to admit that it's there. And so if you insert what is a good practice of having essentially more of an arm's length transaction in there, then the elected still have responsibility ultimately, as we ought, but there is a little bit more of a
a protection to do what is appropriate investment policy for the long term rather for any short-term political advantage. And I think that that is all to the good of our long-term health of our funds.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Nicholas's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 49 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 49 is passed, committee of the whole. I'd like to take a privilege of the floor. We neglected to introduce the doctor of the day. We welcome once again Larry Kirvin from Buffalo. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 91. Oh, Representative Larson Lloyd.
Mr. Chairman, if I may have privilege of the floor, please. Today, on one of the last days of this session, we have the Putnam family from up in the country where Representative Allen and I hail from. And so Holly brought her kids down as a government class. She brought Josh, Michael, and little Sadie down to watch us manipulate with grace and dignity in this body. And so I'd like to introduce them and ask them to stand, and let's give them a welcome, please.
Welcome to the Putnams. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 91. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 91, introduced by Senator Hicks, Small Water Projects, an act relating to water development. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources. The committee returned a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Claussen, Gray, Hunt, Larson, McKim, and Steinmetz. Noes, Representatives Blake, Haley, and Henderson. Signed, Representative Gray, Acting Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McKim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 91 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And I will turn the explanation over this to my fine Vice Chairman.
Vice Chairman Hunt. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll go ahead and move the Standing Committee Amendment first. This was, if I recall, on page 3, line 10. Simply including materials and including materials only grants. So if there are no further questions, I'd call for the question.
Question having been called for, all those in favor of a Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 91, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So Senate File 91. This is a reform for small water projects. And small water projects are projects out of the Water Development Commission that are under $35,000. And the main intent of this bill is that under the current program, we at the legislature, of course, we fund the program through a block grant, and the commission that oversees development, the commission that oversees the development, and then that commission has the sole discretion to of which the projects are funded, and the legislature effectively has no input or oversight into that. And so in recent years, more than once, the commission has gone against the advice of the elected members of this body. And so the intent of this is for the legislature, we as elected officials, to have more oversight into what the final say is in those projects as opposed to those who have just been appointed. And so Senate File 91 would say that the commission could only make recommendation to the Select Water Committee of ours, and that committee, the legislative committee, would approve those projects and then forward them on for funding to the main omnibus water bill. And so, Mr. Chairman, that is the gist of the bill, and I would stand for question. Thank you.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under House Rule 6-4, I move to lay back Senate File 91 for one day.
The one. Okay. Representative Lone, we can't lay it back. We're already in the middle of the discussion. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Point of order.
Yes, Representative.
I would request a Rules Committee because this is the time we would bring forth additional amendments as individuals. I feel this is the proper time in which to bring this.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman's watch.
Actually, according to Rule 6-4, only the Standing Committee Chairman or a member of that Standing Committee amendment, that Standing Committee in his absence, can bring that motion. So if somebody on that committee, at the Chairman's pleasure, they can ask for that, but I don't believe the good representative can do so. But I guess you can have a Rules Committee on that as well. But the rules are pretty clear. Only the Standing Committee Chairman or, in his absence, a member of that committee can bring such a request.
Rules Committee, would you please come to the front of the room? Committee will come to order. The ruling is that only the committee chairman or member of the standing committee could make that motion. So it's out of order, Representative Lone.
Mr. Chairman, with that, I withdraw my motion and ask for your no vote on the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Blake?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you can see, my name's on this bill. But something happened when it was over in the Senate. If you go to the engrossed version, page 2, lines 22 and 23, they took out not include any requirement for a watershed study. Then over on page 3, lines 1 through 7, provided that any project does not meet eligibility criteria for large project programs shall be eligible for the small water project. Well, that wasn't in the bill when I signed on. It's working fine the way it works now. I would please, and maybe I'm the world's worst co-sponsor, I'm not sure, but I would urge a no vote. I think it'll probably be an interim topic study. It's working fine.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, on and against the bill, these are $35,000 projects that this program sunsets in 2025. We don't need to have the same standard for large projects. I do have one question of the bringer of the bill on the top of page 3, Romanet 2. It says, provide that any project that does not meet the eligibility criteria for large project program shall be eligible for the small water project program, provided it meets the small water project program eligibility criteria other than maximum size or storage limitation. And so I'm wondering if maximum size means the dollar amount. So in other words, could you exceed the $35,000 if this was a rejected project of the large project program? So that's a question I have for the bringer. On and against the bill.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against this bill, I made a mistake in committee, so I hope you'll help me correct it today and vote no on this bill. In your little desk cubby, you should have a handout from me, and it says Senate File 91 at the top. It shows you 4 ag organizations that are opposing this bill, and that right there should give you a lot of pause with this bill. It is an interim study, if Management Council approves it for Joint Ag, so we will be talking about it. But we did not gather enough public input. Any time you are amending Title 41, which is our water statutes, our governing statutes for our water, that is a huge deal. And for an individual bill to come and do this, I think we need a lot more public input than we have. So please vote no on this bill.
Vice Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer the good majority whip's question, no, this is strictly from a money standpoint. We're not talking about capacity or whatever. And to sort of echo what the good representative from District 39 said a minute ago, I'm a co-sponsor on the bill as well, and I'm presenting it, and yeah.
The question has been called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman or of Chairman McKim's motion to win the committee the whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 91 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Pursuant to House Rule 6-6B, the bill having failed a voice vote, a standing division vote is required. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. More than 3. Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Bightman.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bovey.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird. No. Clausen.
No.
No. Clem. No. Connolly.
Nope.
No. Court. No. Crank. No. Dayton. No. Edwards.
No.
Eklund. No. Ayer. No. Flitner. No. Freeman. No. Furphy. No. Guru. No. Gray. No. Greer. No. Haley. No. Hallinan. No. Halverson. No. Henderson. No. Hunt. No. Jennings. No. Kinner. No. Kirkbride.
No.
Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. No. Lindholm. No. Lone. No. Laux. No. McGuire. No. Madden. No. McKim. No. Miller. No. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermuller. No. Olson. No. Paxton. No. Pelkey. No. Pieperinen. No. Ponell. No. Salazar. No. Schwartz. No. Summers. No. Steinmetz. No. Sweeney. No. Walters. No. Wilson. No. Winters. No. Zawanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 no.
Pursuant to House Rule 6-6B, Senate File 91, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege.
Please continue.
Thank you. First, let me thank all of you who were able to attend last night's Wyoming Women's Legislative Caucus Leap Into Leadership event and hear the phenomenal talk by Senator Olympia Snowe on civility and bipartisanship. I think you would agree it was a great event. But what I'd now like to introduce the Leap Into Leadership class for 2017, who is back in the fishbowl, and could you join me in welcoming them? Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, a special So I think some of these great women will be joining us in a couple of years here or elsewhere in the state, and I'm looking really forward to that. And just a special shout out to Kristen Walker and Jessica Joubert, who really did yeoman's work in organizing the event. And oh, they're getting some applause back there. And last night they wrote all of our scripts and they didn't thank themselves. So thank you to them as well.
Thank you. Welcome, ladies. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 142. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 142, introduced by Senator Scott, Community Mental Health Payment Reform 2, an act relating to community mental health substance use services. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Guru, Hallinan, Halverson, McGuire, and Sweeney. No, Representative Lone. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Barlow, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rises to report. It does so with the recommendation that Senate File 142 do pass, and I will give you an explanation of the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, we've spent a lot of time this session and in previous sessions dealing with mental health for our state, the provision of mental health, whether it's through Title 25, community mental health, prevention services, et cetera. We just went through discussions in that last week when we were dealing with the budget. What we're trying to do with this bill, ladies and gentlemen, is create more synergy between the different levels of programs we have, specifically between the community-level programs and the institutional level or the Title 25. So what we're doing here is trying to, one, bring down the cost of Title 25 by incentivizing more things to be done in the community level and bringing those two components together. You'd think we could just demand folks work together, but sometimes it takes a carrot. Sometimes it takes a way to get people to come to the table and say, this is how we're going to get this done. So with this bill,
And I'm just going to walk quickly through the bill, and there's a standing committee amendment, which I'd move at this time, and I'll work it into the bill as we go. So I'd move standing committee amendment number one to Senate File 42. As we go through the bill, the first big change, and I think this will be, is fundamental to most folks and was certainly to the committee, page 2, line 12, we strike shall and put in may. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean, when we want to incentivize something, we probably shouldn't start with a stick. So we're trying to give them some latitude to do this, the agency, and the agency, of course, the department is the Department of Health. And then the folks they're reaching out to are actually the community mental health folks, which are also receiving state dollars, and other providers in our communities. So we're trying to build this synergy between our providers. But I want you to take a look at the bottom of page 2, lines 18, all of page 3, into page 4. So we can talk about giving people services, whether in their acute need. We can talk about some follow-up. But these are actually the determinants of what makes people successful, where they live, employment, all those other things. So if we don't do those things, these folks end up cycling back through the system. That's why we have recidivism isn't the right word for it, possibly, but that's why we have folks that come back through multiple times because we're not giving them other supports. So what we're trying to do is incentivize other supports. So that's what you have with for the incentivization part of it, what we're trying to get accomplished. Page 4, there's a deletion, getting rid of some language that seemed to complicate the funding mechanism, and in light of our budget bill, I think that remains a good standing committee amendment. Go into page 5 of the bill, and this is where we get into the partnership. The Department of Health can use some of their funding for Title 25 to reduce the cost of Title 25, but the folks in the community need to step up with money too. So this is the partnership, and the ultimate goal being to reduce our overall costs and provide better care for those that would be in need. Requires rules and regulations. And that is the bill. I'd first ask for the standing committee amendment to be adopted, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the standing committee amendment.
Thank you,
Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I really like what this bill is doing. I think it's a good step in the right direction. I still was concerned with the standing committee amendment on the shall to may. And my concern is this is with that shell, I don't look at that as a stick. It's a matter of the department will then get this framework in place, which should lead to the cooperation with the organizations. And so I just need some help why the good chair of labor believes that's a good amendment.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate the question. So if you would turn to page 4 of the bill, line 718, this talks about expending money, may. This is another may in the bill. So we already have an existing may in the bill, because what this is dependent on is actually funds being available. So what the discussion in the committee was, we don't want them to have to write rules for something they can't afford to do. So let's make sure if we're going to expend money, let's make sure that if we're going to accomplish this, we both have to have the funding available for this program, and then we move forward with the bills. But I certainly respect, and we can put a shall in both places. But that was the tension was between shall in one place for rules, i.e. the bureaucracy, and may actually the ability to implement. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate that explanation, and I understand the may on 4's availability of funds. I just think, chicken and the egg proposition and not sage grouse eggs, by the way. But if we have the rules in place in advance, it'll help move this along in this direction. And maybe we can talk about it later. Or I can divide the bill. Yeah.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I'll wait till after the. Are you on the standing committee amendment?
Yes, we are.
I'll wait till after that.
Chairman Greer?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to divide the standing committee amendment number 1 so that lines 1 through 2 are division 1, lines 3 through 8 are division 2.
Chairman Greer, that's acceptable. Which one would you like to discuss first?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and handle Division 1 and let the body make the decision. I think they've already heard the arguments.
Okay. You've heard the motion on Standing Committee Amendment 1, Division 1. You ready for the question? Question having been called for, all those in favor of Division 1, please say aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
Okay. Division 1 has been defeated. On to Division 2. You've heard the discussion on Division 2. Question called for, all those in favor of Division 2, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Division 2 is adopted. We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, ask for favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we sometimes get into with punctuation and ands. This was brought to me by our professional staff saying we probably should insert the and. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1.
All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 is adopted. We're back on the bill.
I guess there was a question.
Any further discussion on the bill? Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And on page 5 in subsection D, and it kind of goes to the last debate to a degree, is the department may promulgate rules and regulations for mental health and substance use treatment programs requiring them to implement the reforms authorized by this section. So that could require them to do that. So that includes the gatekeeping. So if a community had somebody else that was perhaps a gatekeeper other than these programs, how would that play in? And then the other question I have is limited to the funding available. So what if these programs don't have the money to do it? I assume the department wouldn't do that because it's a may promulgate rules. But just a little background on where we're headed here and where the money's going to come from and whether if there's other gatekeepers out there, whether that's okay or not okay.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to respond to the gatekeeper component first. So as you recall, we passed a bill last year, Senate File 58, that modified gatekeeping. And what we've done with that now in current statute is that the department responsible for these programs consults with the board of local officials and then makes an appointment. And that appointment certainly is, in the context of the appointment, is meant to be within the organizations that are providing community mental health services. However, in some communities, that may not be what's the current practice, or it may not be what's desirable or preferable. So they do have latitude in that, and that's in current statute. That gatekeeping function in current statute, they have latitude to alter from that. The incentivization here is also broader than just those community mental health contract providers also. This is a little broader language, and if you look at line 16, it says programs, and I think that would be referencing those ones that we're familiar with that come directly out of those dollars, and providers. Providers being somebody that may operate without those state mental health and substance abuse dollars. So I think this gives broader latitude for just the point that the good majority whip is asking. And he might have had another question. I apologize. I didn't make good notes.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So first on that point, if you go to page 2, under 92128, subsection A, Romanet 1, it says the department shall develop contract program to incentivize the performing, basically for mental health and substance use treatment programs to be the gatekeeper. This is the way I read I. So I'm just wanting to make sure that the statute we passed last year still rules, and this is maybe just for the incentive program. And then my other question was, are we going to promulgate rules and regulations and not have money available to satisfy the obligations that are necessary to perform this function? So I'm kind of wondering how this will roll out and how you foresee this working. On in support of the bill and any effort to get this done. This is good work, and I appreciate the bringers of the bill doing this. Just a couple questions.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So first to the incentive part. Last year when we passed Senate File 58, we amended 2510-112, and in part of that component was we had the ability to incentivize gatekeeping. So this is in concert with that. So this would actually be the mechanism for the department to actually pay for those services, which we are considering gatekeeping. And gatekeeping is that diversion component or that actual passing them on to hospitalization if that's the appropriate level of treatment. So I think this actually gives meaning to what we did last year in that Senate File 58. So that would be the first question. The second question is a fair question about the dollars available. And within the bill, and I'm going to have to back up, the Standing Committee Amendment dealt with it. Okay, page four, line 17 down, this talks about where they get the funds. And now if we'll recall what we did with the budget, we actually delineated some funds for Title 25. They have funds within their current budget, and then we added some additional funds. So what this is saying is they can use up to 25% of those funds. I'm not saying they're going to use 25, but they can use some of those funds to actually implement this program. Obviously, and I think we should all be clear, if they're projecting the complete expenditure of all those funds, they're not going to go use funds and divert them to this if they think they're going to need them all. So this is probably a second part of the biennium type of a thing, not the first biennium until we actually know what the trajectory of our costs are on Title 25. So I think this is giving them discretion to take a look at what's available, and hopefully if there's funds available, we'll be able to get some of the benefits of what this program is setting up. Call for the question, Mr. Chairman.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Barlow's motion to win the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 142 do pass. Please say aye. Those opposed, no. Senate File 142 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 129. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 129, introduced by Senator Boner, Sexual Assault, School Employee, an Act Relating to Crimes and Offenses. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Pannell, Salazar, Winters. No, Representative Baker. Signed, Representative Winters, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Vice Chairman Winters, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 129 do pass, and I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the good Chairman from the Labor Committee.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, ladies and gentlemen, before you have 129. This is a fairly straightforward bill. It's an issue actually we have heard previously in a previous session. And, actually, we didn't get to hear it. It got into committee, and then it died on the last day, as it may have today. And it comes in a different form. And what we're trying to deal with, and this comes out of one of the communities that I represent, and actually through the testimony of the committee, it's actually occurred in several communities, is we have folks that work within our public schools that occasionally use their positions of authority to the detriment of those who they have authority over. And often this takes the avenue of putting these young people in jeopardy for both their health and their safety. And so what we've done with this is bring in under second degree sexual assault is that someone who is in school, and if you'll look at the bottom of page 2, kindergarten through 12th grade, has interactions that are inappropriate with someone who is 4 years or older more older than them, then that will be considered sexual assault in second degree. Now, in the committee, and it's a fair question, why 4 years? Well, it's not uncommon that we have folks that go to school together, and we have a senior and a sophomore that may end up dating. Senior gets out of school, works within the community, maybe even works for the school, and may continue that that relationship. And so we didn't want to maybe beat down on that component, but we certainly don't want the folks that are 10, 15, 20 years older having the ability to impact these young people's lives. So there's a little bit of a component of age in there, and the discussion at the committee is a fair discussion. Isn't it wrong? Wrong? And wrong is wrong, folks. But this was a compromise. There was a lot of discussion over last year and the previous year, actually. I think this has been for 2 years. We've been having this discussion. It never got to this side for a variety of reasons. But this is trying to protect those folks, those young people, from somebody who would be potentially putting them in danger as a result of their authority over them in a school setting. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration and stand for any questions.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Nope. Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the good Chairman of Labor and Health, if he can just answer for me. So if this language, this new language, wasn't in there, is there still not opportunity to prosecute and bring corrective actions to that situation if it occurs?
Chairman Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So to the good question, there is if the individual is a minor, meaning less than age of majority. But if they're not age, if they're older than the age of majority, this is the only way it can be accomplished. They have no protections. So let's be clear. In the circumstance I alluded to in the beginning of my discussion of this bill, in the community, the folks were able to end the employment term of the individual, but they were not able to actually, there was no ability to actually hold the folks accountable criminally for taking advantage of folks. And there's two things. One, someone, if the crime is reported when the person is underage, that you have an opportunity. But sometimes you don't learn about the crime and the incident and the continuation of it until the person is of age and is 18. So this is a little gap. And to be clear, we're not talking about that many people that are in that 18, but let's also remember that some of our most vulnerable folks, I know that's a word we don't like, but are eligible for services in our schools until they're 21. And the good questioner that gave me is familiar with that. And so we have folks that are receiving services. Developmental disabled folks that are receiving services in the schools and have every right to be there through the federal act, and our schools are supporting them, and this would also protect that group in addition to those folks that may be older. The key point is the position of authority that the employee or volunteer has over this individual. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That spawned a couple of other questions. First, on the disability side, I think that is there not statutes already that protect intrusion on the innocence of someone who is disabled intellectually or developmentally? That's my first question. Then second is the point of if someone, you then have the potential of having someone who is legally an adult but is still in school that could profess to be the victim. Is that correct, and does that apply to them as well?
Chairman Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So on the first question about the one population, there may be. I can't answer that directly. Probably would require a competence, a guardianship or a competency or some kind of determination for they would be that maybe for that to be applicable. On the second component, it's a fair question. There is a gap currently. And how do we address that gap? This bill is trying to accomplish that. And in talking to the folks in the community, both with the education folks and with the folks that would like to protect those folks, i.e. the investigators and those that would want to try to hold people accountable, they said, we got a gap. Give us some tool to close that gap. And it's not a huge gap, but and I don't know why. You've seen several bills come from my community or the communities I represent that have some pretty troubling stuff in them. This would be one of them, where there were some pretty troubling things that occurred, and young people were put in harm's way, no question about it, and harmed. Not just put in harm's way, were harmed. And maybe this is one way. And this is sending a signal to those folks that we entrust with our kids. This is, I believe, a deterrence. This is real stuff. Sometimes we do things I don't think are that deterrent. We had a bill about eluding. That wasn't a deterrence. People aren't going to deter. This is a deterrence because you don't just lose your job. You might lose your ability to actually have the job because you would lose your certification. So this truly, I believe, is a deterrence. I hope there's no prosecutions because that would be no children were put in a vulnerable position, even or young adults. So I would ask for your favorable consideration. Stand for more questions. Thank you.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I sat on the judiciary and listened to this testimony, which was compelling, and that is exactly right, children in harm's way. I strongly urge you to support this bill. Thank you.
Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to put this in context a little bit, so members, this bill is different than what you've seen before, and it goes actually into existing criminal statutes. And I would like to point to your attention, page number 2, because there was the question raised, what about adults, especially if you have an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old who is still enrolled in school, and shouldn't that be their choice? But I'd like to bring to your attention on page number 2 of the bill, subparagraph 7, starting on line number 6. Well, really, we can just start from the very top. It says, any actor who inflicts sexual intrusion on a victim, doesn't say a minor, but a victim, commits sexual assault in the second degree if, under circumstances not constituting sexual assault in the first degree. And here's some of those conditions. So starting on line 6 of page number 2, the actor is an employee, independent contractor, or volunteer of a state, county, city, or town, or privately operated adult or juvenile correctional. Notice there, it says adult or juvenile correctional system, including but not limited to jails, penal institutions, detention centers, juvenile residential or rehabilitative facilities, adult community correctional facilities, or secure treatment facilities, and the victim is known or should be known by the actor to be a resident of such facility or under supervision of a correctional system. And so this law currently already does apply to adults, especially in those certain situations, in particular those penal institutions or those residential treatment centers in which you could be held liable. I thought in an earlier version of the bill, and I'd have to look, but in my line of work too, I oversee a residential group home, and sometimes we get 18-year-olds. And if we were to have an employee that would do something like this, under current statute, they could be charged with a second-degree felony. And I really see it no different when it comes to our schools. When we send kids or young adults, if they're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, to the point where they can receive those educational services, they're there to get an education, not to engage in sexual interactions with teachers or employees or other volunteers who should know better. And so really this fits in nicely into existing statute and would urge you to vote aye in this piece of legislation. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Winter's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 129 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 129 is passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 127. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 127, introduced by Senator Pappas. Exterior Residential Storm Damage Repair Contracts, an act relating to consumer protection. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Henderson, Lindholm. Noes, Representatives Claussen, Greer, and Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Greer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises reported, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 127 do pass. We do have a standing committee amendment, and for the explanation of that amendment, I'll turn it over to the dashing legislator from House District Number 1.
Vice Chairman Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, the basic dirty of it, members of the 64th, is just a little bit of cleanup language. We added farm and ranch structures to the legislation. We also, you've got the right to cancel your contract in this piece of legislation within 10 days. We moved that from 10 days down to 3 days, and the purpose of that 10 to 3 days is there's other states that have this language in their laws, and pretty much every one of them around us is at 3 days. So with that, I'll stand for any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Ready for the question?
Yeah, it was moved.
It was moved. Okay. Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will turn over the explanation of the Senate file to the Chairman of Corporations. Thank you.
Chairman Dwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to talk about exterior residential storm drainage repair contracts. I'll give you about the 5,000-foot level, and then if we have specific questions, I'll be happy to go through the bill and answer them. This is an old friend of the body that I think has been before us 3 times and has always ran out of time in the other body, so this year it started there and came over here and got dangerously close to running out of time. But what the bill does is very narrowly tailored when it talks about roofing contractors and storm damage. This is generally hail, but you know, it could be a tornado or something. And certainly in my part of the state, this is a serious concern, and we saw that in one of our communities in the far southeast corner last summer that had over about 70% of their town affected by hail, and these kind of out-of-state contractors or people who hold themselves out to be contractors move in. So what the bill basically does, it's a consumer protection for repair contracts. So when we talk about contractors throughout the bill, it really just refers to roofing contractors, but it establishes safeguards from these fraudulent roofing contractors, and it doesn't solve the problem entirely, but it does make a pretty good dent in it and hopefully provide some consumer protection for those people who most need it. Three major parts in the bill in the protection statutes of consumer protection. The first is in advertising. And so these roofing contractors have to basically have the name of their company on the contract. They have to be licensed and bonded, and they have to have their registration number in whichever jurisdiction they're in. On the proposal they present to you, they have to have a specific description of the damage and location of where the damage is on your roof. The itemization for emergency repairs, so if you have, you know, a hailstorm or a tornado and they come knocking at your door at 8 the next morning and, you know, you're kind of traumatized, they have to kind of provide a list of work when they get up on your roof, that what they see and what they're encouraging in their proposal. And then basically any damaged areas on the roof, they have to be specific about where those are. And so when your insurance agent comes out and also sends their person to inspect your roof, those coincide. The third major thing is on the contract. So they have to give you a copy of the proposal, the same thing that you'd give your insurance company. They have to disclose that you're responsible for those costs if your insurance company says no. So you have a hailstorm, they show up at your door, they get up on your roof, they say you have all this damage, they convince you to get it fixed, call your insurance company says you don't have any damage. They need to make sure you're responsible for any prepayment or anything you've negotiated with that roofing contractor ahead of time in case your insurance company doesn't agree. And as we previously talked about in the Standing Committee Amendment, you have a right to cancel that contract within 3 days, either from when you signed into that with a roofing contractor or 3 days from when your insurance company says you actually don't have any damage and we're not going to reimburse a claim. So that gives you that 3-day window. It was 10. Other states around us have had 3, and so that's what the good Committee Number 9 went with. Just want to remind the body that in the last 2 years we've had 11 of our counties that have been impacted by storm damage. And so I'd be happy to stand for any questions if anyone has any. and try to be more specific on certain aspects of the legislation. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? Question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Greer's motion to win the committee, the whole rises to report it. Do so with the recommendation that Senate File 127 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 127 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Motion carries. Division has been called for. All those in favor, please stand. Okay, all those opposed, please stand. The vote is 28-28, and the chair votes aye.
Reading clerk will read the committee the whole report.
February 28, 2017. Mr. Speaker, our committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 49, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 91, amended. Following a failed roll call vote, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Senate File 142, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 129, recommended do pass. Senate File 127, amended, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Kirkbride.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That motion's been approved. Congratulations. Thank you, Chairman. We're at that order of business of reading. and signing of enrolled acts. First enrolled act for our consideration is Enrolled Act 77, original House Bill 222. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act 77, House of Representatives, being original House Bill 222, an act relating to criminal background checks, providing for criminal background checks for persons with access to federal tax information as specified, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 77, Original House Bill 222. So signed. Congratulations, Chairman Nicholas. The next Enrolled Act is Enrolled Act Number 78, Original House Bill 161. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 78, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 161, an act relating to domestic relations, modifying residency requirements for the granting of a divorce as specified for providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 78, Original House Bill 161. So signed. Congratulations, Representative Pelkey. Next Enrolled Act is Enrolled Act Number 79, Original House Bill 114. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 79, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 114, an act relating to service and assistance animals, creating an offense for the misrepresentation of a service or assistance animal, prohibiting the killing or injuring of a service or assistance animal, specifying penalties, confirming provisions to federal law provisions on service and assistance animals, making conforming amendments, providing exemptions from liability as specified, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 79, Original House Bill 114. I've so signed. Congratulations, Representative Brown. Next Enrolled Act is Number 80, Original House Bill 88. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 80, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 88, an act relating to the Department of Enterprise Technology Services, authorizing the Department of Enterprise Technology Services to obtain criminal background checks as specified, and providing for effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 80, Original House Bill 88. So signed. Congratulations, Representative Pownell. Next Enrolled Act is Number 81, Original House Bill 20. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 81, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 20, an act relating to the display of flags, authorizing the display of the Honor and Remember flag as specified, providing protocols and penalties, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 81, Original House Bill 20. I'm so signed. Congratulations, Chairman Bartle. Next Enrolled Act is Number 83, Original House Bill 165. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 83, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 165, an act relating to professions and occupations, creating the Acupuncture Practice Act, establishing the Board of Acupuncture, regulating the practice of acupuncture in this state, providing rulemaking authority, providing penalties, establishing an account, providing appropriation, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 83, Original House Bill 165. I've so signed. Congratulations, Chairman Bartlett. Next Enrolled Act is Number 84, Original House Bill 80. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 84, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 80, an act relating to motor vehicles, establishing requirements for transportation network companies, providing or including driver requirements and disclosure requirements, providing exclusions for transportation network companies and drivers, specifying insurance requirements for transportation network companies and transportation network company drivers, authorizing related insurance policy exclusions, superseding local government regulations which conflict with this act, conforming provisions, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign enrolled Act Number 84, Original House Bill 80. So signed. Congratulations, Representative Chairman Zwanitzer. The next enrolled act is Joint Resolution Number 2, Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 2, and also Original House Joint Resolution 2. The reading clerk will read the joint resolution.
Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 2, House of Representatives, being Original House Joint Resolution 2. A joint resolution petitioning Congress to call a convention to propose amendments to the Constitution of the United States to require a balanced federal budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign enrolled joint resolution number 2, Original House Joint Resolution 2. I'm so signed. Congratulations, Representative Lindahl. The next enrolled act is Senate number 46, Original Senate File 26. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act number 46, Senate, being Original Senate File 26. An act relating to game and fish, providing for the confidentiality of information submitted for the purchase of game and fish licenses, specifying permissible uses of the information, requiring a process to designate the information as public, specifying applicability of the Public Records Act, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 46, Original Senate File 26. So signed. Next enrolled act is Senate number 47, Original Senate File 97. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act number 47, Senate, being Original Senate File 97, an act relating to the Wyoming Tobacco Settlement Funds, clarifying the authorized purpose for disclosure of information to the Attorney General, authorizing disclosure of information to enable compliance with a settlement agreement, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 47, Original Senate File 97. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act number 48, Original Senate File 107. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act number 48, Senate, being Original Senate File 107, an act relating to the probate, amending the period for objections to applications for summary probate, providing that notice to an agent or attorney of a party interested in an estate or a summary distribution of notice to this party, amending prerequisites to a decree of final distribution, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 48, Original Senate File 107. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Enrolled Act number 49, Original Senate File 62. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act number 49, Senate, being Original Senate File 62, an act relating to the practices of pharmacy, amending provisions related to the practice of telepharmacy, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 49, Original Senate File 62. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Enrolled Act number 50, Original Senate File 42. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act number 50, Senate, being Original Senate File 42, an act relating to public health and safety, creating the Emergency Administration of Opiate Antagonist Act, providing for prescription and administration of an opiate antagonist drug as specified, granting immunity from criminal or civil liability for specified conduct, providing rulemaking authority, and providing for an effective date. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 50, original Senate File 42. I'm so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Senate Enrolled Act Number 51, original Senate File 72. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 72, Senate, being original Senate File 72, an act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, providing for the funding of large projects under that act, specifying large projects approved for funding in 2017, requiring certifications regarding kickbacks and gifts, providing appropriations, providing for reversions of funds, and providing for an effective date. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign in Senate Enrolled Act Number 51, original Senate File 72. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act is Senate Enrolled Act 52, original Senate File 123. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 52, Senate, being original Senate File 123, an act relating to school district operations, establishing a grant program for school districts to increase consumption of Wyoming meat products in school lunch programs, requiring rulemaking, authorizing expenditure of prior appropriations as specified, and providing for an effective date. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 52, original Senate File 123. I've so signed. The next Enrolled Act is Senate Enrolled Act 53, original Senate File 78. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 53, Senate, being original Senate File 78, an act relating to public funds, amending the processes of the Federal Natural Resource Policy Count, and providing for an effective date. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 53, original Senate File 78. So signed. The next Enrolled Act is Senate Enrolled Act 54, original Senate File 167. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 54, Senate, being original Senate File 167, an act relating to workers' compensation, modifying the rate discount for compliance with a drug and alcohol testing program as specified, providing for an experience modification rate for out-of-state employers moving operations to Wyoming as specified, providing a premium credit for employees as specified, providing for rulemaking, and providing for an effective date. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 54, original Senate File 167. I'm so signed. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70, introduced by Senator Kinski, Manufacturing Machinery Exemption Sunset Date, an act relating to taxation.
Senate File 70, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 88.
Senate File 88, introduced by Senator Scott, Palliative Care, an act relating to public health and safety.
We have amendments. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Second Amendment reading number 1 to Senate file number 88. You may recall that yesterday we adopted House number 2 on Committee of the Whole amendment to the same bill. In that, it stated that at least one member active in the practice of holistic or alternative medicine and at least one member active in the practice of chiropractic or acupuncture be added to the Council on Palliative Care. Palliative care, that's a very serious subject. The conditions being treated include cancer, Alzheimer's, pulmonary disease, congestive heart failure, rheumatoid arthritis, and coronary artery disease, and many other chronic diseases. None of these are treatable by alternative medicine, acupuncture, or chiropractic manipulation. As to holistic medicine, I don't even know what the definition of that is. Who would these practitioners be associated with on the council? Two healthcare professionals with experience in palliative or hospice care. One licensed pharmacist. One law enforcement specialist with experience in dealing with illegal drugs. One with experience in counseling seriously ill or dying persons as a clergy or mental health professional. That number is 5, to which this amendment would add 2 with the dubious credentials enumerated in the above amendment. What do they have to offer in terms of expertise? With all due respect, very little. I offer my amendment to remove these two admissions and ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Anyone else for your first time? Representative Larson Lloyd.
Green means go. I'd ask you to defeat this amendment. I think to label those professions as dubious is probably not the term that I would expect here, and we... their input is every bit as important as a peace officer. So if we're including him in that, we certainly ought to include these others. It was adopted by this body yesterday, so I would just urge you to defeat this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. I have a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances who find great relief from these two practices, and who are we to say where they shall not seek palliative care if that's their goal? Defeat the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you take a look at who we already have on the advisory council, we already have 2 healthcare professionals with professional experience in palliative care and hospice care. So I would argue that the folks that are covered by the amendment could already be included, and they would have specifically some experience in this effort, in this arena. So I would actually support the amendment that's being brought forward. And if we want to be specific about the experience we're bringing on, let's bring someone that actually has experience in this, not just anybody that has a license that may be involved in this. So, in support of the amendment, thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On in support of the amendment and in support of the bill, I agree with the last bringer that committee already has the ability to pull from those people and that it's unnecessary to be in the bill. On in support of the amendment.
Anyone else for your first time before we move? For your first time, Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I brought these concerns from my constituents that this previous amendment that we passed. So, you know, this body voted to bring those individuals in there. So I am on and against this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? Moving to second time. Anyone second time for the sponsor? Representative Hallinan.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. The medical model is a scientific model. It is based on controlled study and statistical results that show positive response to interventions taken in cases of physical or mental dysfunction. On the whole, it has served us well. Palliative care is too important for us to abandon it. On and for the amendment, and I ask for your favorable consideration of it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, we are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 88. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
That amendment has been adopted. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. These are in favor of the amendment. You can count me in this group, too. And I'm 32. Okay, all those opposed, please stand. The amendment has been adopted, 32-26. We're now on second reading amendment number 2. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 88 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, what this does is simply take out the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network from being specifically named in this bill. So if you look, the important part is if you look on page 9, this is where there's a report to the legislature. It says right now that the department shall request the American Cancer Society to provide the legislature and the Labor Health Committee a report. That just seemed very odd to me. This is a private nonprofit organization that is not included in the council, receives no compensation for doing it, and it is voluntary. So it would be asking this private nonprofit to attend meetings for 5 years and to possibly provide a report. So if we want a report, then we should actually have the department do it. The department's responsible for setting up the council and its oversight, and so simply, what this amendment does is say that the department shall provide the legislature and the Labor Health Committee that report. And then the remaining part of the amendment is simply taking it out of the title and taking it out of kind of a later part where it's discussed. And with that, I'd ask for your favorable consideration if there are no questions.
Seeing no other discussion, question being called, we are voting on second reading amendment number 2. To Senate File 88. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That amendment has been adopted. We are now on amendment number 3. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 3. To House Bill, or excuse me, Senate File 88, and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, this is a long amendment, but let me just briefly tell you what it does. You'll see there it deletes the Conley Amendment, but it actually wraps it back up into this. So my amendment does the same thing and a little bit more. If you actually turn in your if you have your bill, and you look at page number 3. page number 3 on line 17 is where we create this advisory council on palliative care. And what this amendment does is it deletes that advisory council along with the report that we just adopted there just a moment ago with the last amendment. So it actually deletes on page 3 lines 18 through 23, all of page 4, all of page 5, all of page 6, all of page 7, and on page 8, lines 1 through 4. What it does keep is this. It keeps the department duties, and it also keeps the definitions. So we have palliative care as defined. We have the definitions within there, and then we have what the department shall do. It says the department shall publish information and resources on its website, including links to external resources concerning a palliative care providers and facilities, information about palliative care delivery in the home, community outpatient inpatient settings, best practices for palliative care delivery, consumer education materials, and referral information for palliative care, including hospices. It also shall develop and implement as appropriate, consistent with existing appropriations, other initiatives regarding palliative care services and education. You can see on page 9, we delete that last part, 9 and 10, because they don't need to consult with the council. There's no longer a council. Again, this doesn't hurt the bill, but what it does is it eases the burden upon the department. I'd like to stress again in committee, this bill was not brought forward by the department. It was not brought forward by any hospital. It wasn't brought forward by anybody associated with palliative care. It was brought forward by an individual senator who thought this was a worthy topic. But it wasn't brought forward by any of those other people. Furthermore, the department testified that they do not have the manpower to oversee this. They don't have the manpower. Why are we laying additional burdens upon them when we're already slashing their budget? And so with that, Mr. Speaker, I would again ask for your favorable consideration and stand for any questions. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, essentially what this amendment would do is severely limit the ability to get information about palliative care out to the very people who need it the most. This is not a practice that is being used to its capability in the state. If we're only talking about a handful of patients and their family who, through this bill, get the information they need so that they get access to palliative care as opposed to curative care, we have done a great service to the citizens of the state, and we have not only done that, we have saved this family money and probably saved the state money. Strongly on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, and I'm a co-sponsor on this amendment. I don't think that this amendment hurts the bill at all. In fact, it helps it. The comment's been made that it would severely limit the ability to get information out to the public about palliative care. Well, that's just not the case. Actually, if we look at the bill, what this amendment does is leave in place that exact vehicle. On page 8, we leave intact with this amendment 35-1-1203, which is the department duties, which is actually the meat of this bill. It's what's good about this bill. It says, the department must publish information and resources on its website, et cetera, et cetera. So what's good about this bill is the access to information. None of that's been changed. What is potentially a snare in this bill is the creation of a council, or maybe not really a snare, but just wholly unnecessary. If in the private sector a nonprofit wanted to arise in the state of Wyoming to address these needs, it certainly could, and it should. And I think that's the decision you have to make. Is this an instance where government should step in, create the council, and do all the things that actually can occur outside of government and should occur outside of government? And they absolutely can. But what we want to do is make sure that we have a statutory framework that allows for that information to be processed and passed from our hospitals, from our doctors, to those needing this very important care. And they get that. with the bill. I think that as long as our state puts in place a statutory framework that says that the information that exists must be transferred, that we've accomplished all we need to accomplish. Setting up the council, spending money on the council, requiring councils to come and give reports, that's not going to do anything for palliative care at all. So vote for this amendment because you don't gut the meat of this bill. You keep that, and I think that you allow the private sector to do what it's designed to do, and it keeps government out of the business of getting between the doctors and their patients. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Adding on to the remarks of the previous speaker, I believe that there is a tremendous, there's a lot of good things in this bill. It's very important, and having been in the situation of helping and addressing a number of issues in a situation like this in my other profession, I want to make sure that palliative care is there. I also understand that it is. The problem is information doesn't flow to the patient, to the family, the way that it should. But I do have problems with the bill, and I sat down with the other co-sponsors of this amendment yesterday just to look through some of the issues that arise from page 3 to the top of page 8. And as I was looking through, we started looking at the composition of this council. Secondly, we started looking at the duties of this council and some of the things that they are guided toward making recommendations on. And it became apparent that the problem with the bill, even though the effort behind the bill I respect, but the problem with the bill is the council. But I don't want to do away with the bill as a whole because, again, like the previous speaker said, on 35.1.1203, there are some things that the department can make sure that they provide a clearinghouse where they can provide a clearinghouse for information. I believe that that information will be very helpful to that family in that time of distress. And so I don't want to see the whole bill go down. But with the information found from page 3 to page 8, I couldn't support the bill as it stands now. But with the amendment, I believe I could.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of this amendment, this might be what could get me to vote aye on the bill if we adopted this amendment. I don't think that information flows from top down. I don't think that the department that is in charge of the health of the state is responsible for trickle-down information. As a matter of fact, I think the information is going to trickle up because palliative care is happening in our communities. Our doctors are aware of it. Our hospitals are aware of it. Our skilled nursing and home nursing providers are aware of this. It is happening now, and I think the department shall collect the information from providers throughout the state, from faith leaders throughout the state, and but with this amendment, I think I could actually support this bill. Please vote aye on the amendment, and we'll keep talking about the bill, I guess.
Mr. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against the amendment, and you know, I'm from a fairly rural area, and when my mom went through cancer and this phase in life, it's very difficult. And when you're in an area like that, finding the care to put together to provide that care at the end of life is essential. And if this council could help do that in those areas where we don't have hospitals, then I'm in favor of the bill against the amendment.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really like this amendment. And yesterday as I got up and spoke, I spoke about the concern that I had in creating this council. And, folks, I know we've got more councils than Carter has liver pills. And I serve on a number of those. And I think that there's probably room to get rid of a few of them. This is really construed in an interesting way, and one that I find is a little counterproductive. I like palliative care, and I know that it's here, but I think getting rid of the council takes that burden off the Department of Health, especially after the restrictions we put on them this year in the budget. I think that having the Department of Health do the requirements that are outlined in this bill gives a rudimentary information on these types of services that would be available in a situation that the good majority whip talked about in the last discussion, so that citizens of the state know that these services are available and where, but it just gets rid of the council, and I'd ask you to adopt this amendment.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, I'm sorry, but I totally disagree. It does, in my opinion, gut the purpose of the bill. Several speakers have said they might agree with the bill if the amendment passes. They've not firmly agreed. And I also heard that this is a cost to the department, and while I don't disagree with that, I think we heard in testimony during committee that the department would probably be a cost of about $10,000, is what I heard. I might be wrong on that. And lastly, I do want to point out once again, at the top of page 6, council members to receive per diem and mileage in the same manner and amount as members of the legislature if the governor determines sufficient funds are available. If. So it's not mandated per diem, and the council that we heard, the folks we heard testimony from, we're well aware of that. So if anything could be possible, as the majority whip pointed out, in our rural areas to help better get information out, which I believe this council will help to do at no cost, in my opinion, to us, I am definitely against the amendment and in favor of this bill. And let's think about this and don't gut this bill.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm against this amendment and for the bill. I think that a discussion by these people that are on the council would be helpful in formulating a method for communicating to the local physicians, hospitals, etc., on palliative care. I think that this organization, this council, could serve a useful purpose in spreading information amongst various groups of people in our state. And therefore, I am against this amendment and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I think it's, you know, the question out there is what's more important, getting the information out there or forming another committee? I think this bill addresses that and takes care of the information part of it, gets rid of the committee, so some more people might come on board with the bill and get this bill passed. I'm one of those people that I just can't, you know, I think we've got too many committees already. this amendment takes care of that problem, gets rid of the committee, keeps the information out there. Support this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment for the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want an unresponsive, top-down government, support the amendment, because that's what you're getting. You're getting something sterile from the top coming down. The council is actually you and I. It's our communities. It's the folks that are placed on this. They're going to actually be generating what's needed to expand the services and to do this across the state. So I look at exactly the opposite as being portrayed. With the amendment, we get a website. Without the amendment, we get something meaningful that can happen in our communities across the state to give to help people gain access and understanding to palliative care, which is so important to many of our families and our loved ones. So I would ask you to defeat the amendment and continue to support the bill. Thank you.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, in support of the previous speaker and against the amendment, I've gone back and forth on this subject a lot for some while, and I kind of assumed that, gee, it's not necessary because everybody knows about all these sort of things, until a relative of mine by marriage talked about how her experience was right here in this city, where you would think if the knowledge were available, it would be here, and she really didn't receive it. As to the comment about taking out the council and then the department is all there to do all this work, well, I have to say the last thing this department needs is to a giant research project for itself. Far better to have the community people do it and provide their information, and then the department can convey it. And frankly, I think the council will have a lot more success in sharing information in the communities than the department. I don't know how often you look at the department's website, but you might have noticed that you can't actually get to it by your favorite browser. You have to use the other special browser with a circle. So it's not really that easy to get there. I think the council will be far more effective.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Winters.
I've already gone the first time. I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else first time? We're moving to second time now. Anyone their second time before the sponsor? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to address some of the issues that have been raised here, first of all, in those rural communities, we do need to make sure that information goes out there. I believe that the information can go out. I believe it can go out through the Department of Health. And it also, if you look at this council puts together all of these members who do some study and so on. But then you also look at some of the areas in which they are supposed to study, and they're kind of wide open. They're all over the place on this. Thirdly, once they do that study, they report back to the very department that would be passing on the information. And so all we're doing is saying, let's not build this council to report back to the department. So many of the previous statements that have been made about the department and getting the information out still exist in this bill. What we're saying is, let's take the council out. Let's take that portion of it out and also the duties. It isn't really even for me about the addition of another council or about money or anything else. It's about this council having such a broad scope, being comprised of all these different individuals. And then what they do is they report back to the Department of Health, who then reports back to our body and the Joint Labor Health and Social Services and so on. And so it's just a whole lot of extra. And I'd like to pare this down to its essential parts. And so that's the reason why, and also to answer something else, I am for the bill with this amendment. So I want to make that clear. I'm not just trying to use wishy-washy words up here. So I just wanted to put that to rest as well.
Your second time. Anyone for their second time? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and this is unusual for me. This might be my first second time in 3 years, and that's because I feel pretty strongly about this. I haven't heard anybody say they're against palliative care, and I haven't heard anybody say they're against getting information out about palliative care. But in my mind, what this amendment would do is limit the information that gets out about palliative care, and as a consequence, limit palliative care. My background before I did this job was in business, and I spent 30 years doing marketing. And marketing is how you get information out there. And if we are only going to rely on the department to disseminate the information, we are reducing the amount of information that will get out to people so they can take advantage of palliative care, which is what this bill is all about. Please vote against the amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Okay, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the good discussion. I think it was well worth the time. You know, when we had those speakers here 2-3 weeks ago, whatever it was, I remember one of the speakers stood up and he gave us a kind of a litmus test, and he said, number one, is it constitutional? And if it isn't constitutional, do we have the general funds to fund it? And I would submit to you, no. We're still borrowing $50 million from the LSRA. We've technically balanced our budget, but we still had a structural deficit that needed to be balanced by the LSRA, so we don't have the general funds. That's number one. Number two, and I guess another litmus test for me, and you could use this, and maybe you prefer not to, but it simply, is this something that the private market can do on its own? And I would just ask this body, do hospitals have the ability to network? Do they have the ability to network with each other, with other hospitals within Wyoming? Do they have the ability to network with other hospitals outside of the state? Do they have the ability to network on certain platforms when it comes to certain standards of care or certain occupations within the healthcare industry? And I would submit to you that they do. They have that ability. Furthermore, I would just challenge the body to do this. I don't know how many of you have done this. I haven't done it. I was listening to the debate. I just thought about it myself. What would happen if you typed in your computer palliative care? What kind of information would you come up with? I'm sure you could find bountiful resources right at your fingertips. And while you might have a person who doesn't think that way and think, well, I can just go on the internet and look, the fact of the matter is if our department, I don't think, has to go a long way if they want to get information and publish that and put that out there for people to see in a collective spot. And so again, the idea here is this a prudent use of our funds? Is this a prudent use of our resources? Is this a prudent use of our time and energy? And I would submit to you that it's not. Furthermore, I would submit to you that the very department who we are tasking this council or the charge of this council, they don't want to do it either. They weren't for it. So why are we tasking them with this? And again, is it needful? Is it prudent for us to do? I just leave you with those questions. I'd ask you to vote aye on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 88. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Opposed, please stand. Amendment fails, 31-24.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lone.
I move to lay Senate File 88 on the table.
Okay, we have a motion to lay on the table, which in effect is to lay for a brief time, is what Mason says. And the motion is not to lay back, but to lay on the table for a brief time. And then we have an objection. Is there a second to the objection? Okay. So we're going to take a vote now to whether to sustain the objection to this motion. There's no debate. And as we set the computer up, we'll pause here for a few minutes. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks. Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Please.
A question. So this just lays it back to the end of second reading, is my understanding of to lay on the table. It doesn't kill the bill for the day. It just holds it till we get through everything else in second reading.
That or maybe even one more bill in second reading. It's a period of time. Yes. Okay. So we have a motion to lay it back, and we have an objection, and we're going to vote on and a second on the objection. Representative Byrd, who's your second? Representative Grew. And so you're voting now to sustain the objection. So an aye vote will defeat the motion to lay it back. An aye vote, then I will smack the gavel and it'll move on to third reading. Correct? An aye vote will sustain the objection to lay it back. I'm saying that again. An aye vote, then, if the ayes prevail, the objection will be sustained, and the bill will have been read two separate times, and it will be read a third time. If not, we'll lay it back for a bill or two. Okay. Are you ready? Chief, everybody understand what your vote means? An aye vote will advance the bill to third reading. Your no vote will delay the bill for a period of time. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. No. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. No. Blackburn. No. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Byrd. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Grew. Aye. Gray. No. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. No. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. No. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. No. McKim. No. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. No. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Pipirinen. No. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. No. Schwartz. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. No. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. No. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Brown. Aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 43 aye, 17 no.
The objection has been sustained by a majority of the members present. Senate file 88, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate file 92.
Senate file 92, sponsored by Senator Pappas, Local Governments Plan Review Authority, an act relating to fire protection.
Senate file 92, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate file 94.
Senate file 94, sponsored by Senator Driscoll, Franchise Business Relationships, an act relating to employment.
Senate file 94, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate file 96.
Senate File 96, sponsored by Senator Pappas, Real Estate Brokers and Salespersons, an act relating to professions and occupations.
Senate File 96, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 106.
Senate File 106, sponsored by Senator Scott, Obsolete Reporting Requirements, Repeal and Modification, an Act Relating to Government Record Keeping and Reporting.
Senate File 106, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 111.
Senate File 111, sponsored by Senator Baldwin, Nurse Practice Act Revisions, an Act Relating to the Occupation of Nursing.
Senate File 111, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be heard a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 121.
Senate File 121, sponsored by Senator Baldwin, Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendments, an Act Relating to the Wyoming Pharmacy Act.
Senate File 121, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration, Senate File 138.
Senate File 138, sponsored by Senator Pappas, Certified Public Accountants Amendments, an Act Relating to Professions and Occupations.
Senate File 138, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 145.
Senate File 145, sponsored by Senator Nethercott, University of Wyoming and Community College Boards of Trustees, Chairman, an Act Relating to the University of Wyoming and Community College Boards of Trustees.
Senate File 145, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 148.
Senate File 148, sponsored by Senator Christensen, Agricultural Tax Valuation, Farmstead, an Act Relating to Ad Valorem Taxation.
Senate File 148. I'm going to pause for a minute. Senate File 148, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 170.
Senate File 170, sponsored by Senator Duckstetter, Unmanned Aircraft, an Act Relating to Aeronautics.
Senate File 170, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading, final passage, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills, 21, 28, 29, 64, 99, 108, and 109. Please note that Senate File 77 has been moved down to the regular list. So to repeat that, 21, 28, 29, 64, 99, 108, and 109.
Are there any members that would like any bill removed from the consent list? Seeing none, the reading clerk will read the consent list bills through the enacting clause.
Senate File 21, sponsored by Senator Baldwin, Death Certificates, an Act Relating to Vital Records, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 28, sponsored by Management Council, Revisors Bill, an Act Relating to the Revision of Errors in Legislation, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 29, sponsored by Management Council, Legislative Employees, an Act Relating to the Legislature, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 64, sponsored by Senator Von Flatern, Crash Report and Confidentiality, an Act Relating to Motor Vehicle Crashes, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 99, sponsored by Senator Baldwin, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants, Sunset Date, an Act Relating to Community Health Centers and Rural Health Clinics, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 108, sponsored by Management Council, Lawsuits Challenging State Legislative Acts, an Act Relating to Civil Procedure, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 109, sponsored by Senator Barnard, Auto Cycles, an Act Relating to Motor Vehicles, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen. Baker, Barlow, Biteman, Blackburn, Blake, Bovee, Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Clausen, Clem, Connolly, Court, Crank, Dayton, Edwards, Eklund, Ayer, Flitner, Freeman, Furphy, Grew, Gray, Greer, Haley, Hallinan, Halverson, Henderson, Hunt, Jennings, Kinner, Kirkbride, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lone, Laux, McGuire, Madden, McKim, Miller, Nicholas, Northrup, Obermuller, Olson, Paxton, Pelkey, Piperinen, Punnell, Salazar, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Sweeney, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Kinner, 60-I. As to Senate File 21, are there any changes? Jennings, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 no. As to Senate File 28, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 29, are there any changes? Lindholm, aye to no. Gray, aye to no. Zwanitzer, aye to no. Blackburn, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Barlow, aye to no. Brown, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 48 aye, 12 no. As to Senate File 64, are there any changes? Gray, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 no. As to Senate File 99, are there any changes? Greer, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. Winters? Winters, aye to no. Further changes? Lone? Aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 no. As to Senate File 108, are there any changes? Gray, aye to no. Lindholm, aye to no. Guru, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Salazar, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Piperinen, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 49 aye, 11 no. As to Senate File 109, are there any changes? Lone, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 21, 28, 29, 64, 99, 108, and 109 have passed the House. We're We're at that order of business of bills on third reading, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 77.
Senate File 77, sponsored by Senator Bebout, Capital Oversight Group Membership, an act relating to state property and buildings, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, I would move third reading amendment to Senate File 77, amendment number one, and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this is, it just adds one more additional member to the Capital Oversight Committee. And the person that it adds is the state treasurer. So some of you may be familiar, there's a little bit of history of some issues that rose up between the state treasurer and some of the electeds and the oversight committee. And the frankly, this is, to me, this is one of those things that in order in part to be compliant with the Constitution, and also is essentially kind of an extended olive branch to the good state treasurer, and to have him as part of this committee and sit with us so that he has more interaction on the walls and halls and furnishings and repairs of the state capitol, I think it would be appropriate that we put him on this particular individual, this elected official, on the committee. And it may or may not have any impact on things outside of the actual service and work that's being performed on this committee. But I just think it's the right thing to do. And if we got a new committee, I think it'll kind of. I know that he is intensely interested in making sure that the state capitol is as wonderful and as complete as possible. So having him attendance would be a good thing. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in support of this amendment, a little background here. Article 3, Section 31 of the state constitution is very clear that the treasurer should be signing off on contracts related to any construction at the state capitol. And that was one of the many things that was not occurring and why compliance of in Article 3, Section 31 of the constitution was not occurring. And there's a lawsuit on this, and I think having the state treasurer there would be good. Now, one other thing I want to say is this is one of those third reading amendments. There's been a couple bills this way where you pass the amendment and suddenly there's a thought that maybe the bill has been passed some kind of threshold. And I'd still urge a no vote on the bill. This has not made the bill palatable. So pass the amendment, but vote no on the bill. Thank you.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I want a little bit of clarification. When we look at the amendment, 18 through 23, lines 18 to 23, this is talking about the quorum of the oversight and including a new member in the oversight. I'm interested in one question on that is a quorum, so you can't even have a meeting unless you have the chief executive, S4, and a majority of the legislators. That's the way I read that. It's not a majority of the members. It's those two plus a majority. That's my first question. I want to ensure that I'm understanding that correctly. The second component is at the bottom of the page, and this is this has to do with the excess charges, excess of $1 million require of the approval. And this is also another one of those, and this doesn't refer to the oversight group. This doesn't refer to the oversight group. This refers to members of the legislative members of the oversight group, so a majority of them, the state treasurer, and the governor. So it looks like to me there's three approvals in the bottom. So, I mean, I think I understand the intent of what's being accomplished here, but just a couple clarifications. Looks like now we're going to require three approvals for the bottom portion, i.e. majority of the members, the S4 and S1. And at the top, now we have another hurdle to overcome to have a quorum of that group initially. So just some clarification on those two things. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Okay. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, and I believe the previous speaker is right on it takes the majority of the legislative members as well as the state treasurer if this amendment passes, as well as the governor. So on and for the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Crank.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question on lines 34 through 38. It speaks about a change order, but it's the approval of the final design plans to the change order. So are we talking the plans aren't done yet, or are they complete, or just where are we at with the change order process? Usually that follows the plans being complete. So if somebody could answer that, I'd appreciate it.
Any other member? Representative Piperine.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having been part of this discussion over the last couple of years, I applaud this amendment putting the state treasurer back in there. On and for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time? Or the sponsor? Seeing none, we are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 77. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are now on amendment number 2. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 77 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, this looks like a complicated amendment, but let me simply tell you what it does. Now that we've put the state treasurer on the oversight board, it takes out all of the rest of the language. And so the bill moves forward without adding any additional members besides the state treasurer. Now, originally I was going to vote no on this bill, but I was kind of excited that the state treasurer, after years of discussion, I guess the goodwill of the body on third reading, we decided to put that in and put him on the oversight committee, which I think is great. But because I don't like the rest of the bill, I brought an amendment to just strip the rest of it out besides putting the state treasurer. There's some more new blood there. We've had the same state treasurer for at least the last 4 years, and his deputy have been on this project since the beginning. I think they bring a wealth of knowledge about the project, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration on the amendment.
Anyone else? First time on the amendment. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask for favorable consideration on this amendment. This would be great that we'd fix a constitutional problem, an area where we've not been following our Constitution with this bill, a bill that previously I think has enormous problems, and we'd be...
I think we want to stay on this amendment, and I appreciate it, but let's stay on the amendment.
Vote yes on the amendment. This makes it so that we're following the Constitution. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, on and against the amendment for all the reasons we voted for yesterday.
Anyone else for their first time? Okay, second time, or the sponsor? Seeing none. We are voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 77. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all those in favor please stand. All those opposed, please stand. The amendment fails, 23-35. Senate File 77. Having been read three separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
No.
No. Barlow.
No.
No. Fightman.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
No.
No. Bovee.
No.
Brown.
No.
No. Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
No. Ponell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Bird. No. To aye. Crank. No. To aye. Further changes? Henderson. No. To aye. Further changes? Freeman. No. To aye. Blake. No. To aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 37 aye, 23 no.
Senate File 77, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 77 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 115.
Senate File 115, sponsored by Senator Christensen. Malicious cruelty to animals, an act relating to crimes and offenses. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 115 and ask for your favorable consideration. I was moved to bring this amendment when one of the finest legal minds in the body could not answer the question, does this affect livestock on public land in their grazing allotments? And I think we've come up with some verbiage that does satisfactorily cover livestock on public lands. Now, if you look in your box, I've handed out a page from a book of faces. And this is what our agriculture industry is up against with their livestock on public lands. This is a page called the Public Lands Hunt Club, otherwise known as Shoot Welfare Ranchers. This is a tradition that's being employed throughout the West, starting throughout the West, of people that don't want livestock on public lands. And it's even got a nickname. It's called Sneak and Snipe. So I would ask for your favorable vote on this amendment. What it will do is protect our livestock and our ranchers as they turn their livestock out onto public lands in the summer. Adopting this amendment will cause the verbiage to read as follows. Shoots, poisons, or otherwise intentionally acts to seriously injure or destroy
any livestock or domesticated animal owned by another person while the animal is on property where the animal is authorized to be present. So that's the amendment, and I urge your aye vote.
Chairman Greer. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So three times is a charm. This is good. I appreciate the bringer of the amendment. And, you know, we had great debate on this particular subject, and we went back and forth, and this really is the correct language. It answers all the questions that this body brought up concerning putting down an animal over at your parents' house, regarding BLM leases, regarding state leases, regarding private leases, regarding your own property. In this language, and we've had quite a bit of discussion on this debate and worked through it, and it is a very good amendment. And I think with all the work we've done on this, we'll put a bow tie on it, and we've done some good work for the people of the state. I'm in support of the amendment. Anyone else? Representative Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On in support of the amendment, I do have a question because I still want to get this answered in my head. So my neighbor and I have cows on the same public land together. His cow's dying. I go shoot his cow in a mercy killing. I'm not a felon. That's what I want to hear from the good country lawyer.
Anyone else, first time? Okay, moving to second time. Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With respect to our majority whip, I could not speak to the fact if he is a felon or not. Or if there's a possibility of him becoming a felon or not. Except that I can tell him in that scenario that he put forth, he would not be. And that's part of the fix we did when we brought in that subsection M, regarding a person from humanely destroying an animal, agricultural purposes, and so forth. We make sure that in that specific instance, our majority whip will not be spending time in the, what do we want to call it, the who's cow, whatever.
Right. Anyone else? Second time? Nobody? Okay. I just want to make sure everybody's... Okay, the question's being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 115. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That amendment's been adopted. Senate File 115, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. Aye. Farlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Giroux. I. Gray. I. Greer. I. Haley. I. Hallinan. I. Halverson. I. Henderson. I. Hunt. I. Jennings. No. Kinner. I. Kirkbride. I. Larson Lloyd. I. Larson Dan. I. Lindholm. I. Lone. I. Laux. I. McGuire. I. Madden. I. McKim. I. Miller. I. Nicholas. I. Northrup. I. Obermuller. I. Olson. I. Paxton. I. Pelkey. I. Pieperinen. I. Ponell. I. Salazar. I. Schwartz. I. Summers. I. Steinmetz. I. Sweeney. I. Walters. I. Wilson. I. Winters. I. Zawanitzer. I. Mr. Speaker. I. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no.
By your vote, having received the affirmative vote the majority of members elected to the House, Senate File 115 has passed the House. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor. Thank you. Members, I just want to remind you as we're getting on toward lunch that at 1 o'clock today, there is that meeting where you can give feedback on the new electronic bill process. So 1 o'clock in room L51. There is another meeting tomorrow if you can't make this one, but if you have any input that you want to provide, now is a good time to do it. Thank you.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Every so often in this body, somebody has a birthday on the day when we're in session. We've had several this week, in fact, but there is one in particular having one today. Not just a birthday, but a decade's birthday. So I'd like us to be the first to congratulate and recognize the pride of House District 54, Representative Larson Lloyd.
Hey. There we go. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 159, Joint Conference Committee, will be meeting at Joint Appropriations at 12:30.
Representative Kinner.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor, please.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, I'm very proud to introduce my dad and my brother to you today. They're in the gallery, and I'd like you to meet my dad, who is a Bishop at Holy Family Church in Casper, and my brother, Paul, and my dad's name is Kenneth Kinner, by the way, and my brother, Paul, is a retired elementary school teacher from a district that our speaker knows very familiar, and he just retired from 30 years of coaching soccer. Welcome.
Welcome to the House, Kenner men. It's always good to have someone from Natrona County. You know, number one on our license plates and number one in our heart. Yes. That never gets old. Any other announcements? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Joint Conference Committee number one will continue working on House Bill 32, the Ski Safety Act, upon noon recess in S-18.
I have one enrolled act to sign, and then when we come back from lunch, we will work on concurrences and requests for concurrence and then joint conference committee reports. So one moment on that motion. So we're at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. The first enrolled act and our only enrolled act before lunch is Senate Enrolled Act 34, original Senate File 147.
Enrolled Act Number 34, Senate, being original Senate File 147, an act relating to livestock, increasing the amount brand inspection fees can be adjusted each fiscal year and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 34, original Senate File 147. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
2 p.m. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m.